It is Veterans Day, and I've got my favorite veteran here, Bill Chadwick, who, you know, when we walked in together, I said, not only thank you for your service, but thank you for your continual, never-ending service to veterans. You're always there for these guys.
Thank you, Dorothy.
And most people don't know that, you know, that you're just, you know, if there's a veteran in trouble, they know who to call.
It's been inspiring for me all through the years to get involved in different things. And I got to tell you, this past Saturday night in particular, out at Silverado Country Club, Warrior Rising, which is an entrepreneurial support organization, Jason Van Camp is doing a fantastic job. And this is where it really started, and here in Napa.
Right.
His very first fundraiser was right here.
No, I remember.
Yeah, Marissa and Andy Amador supported him, and that's when we also had Flo Groberg, Medal of Honor recipient, come down.
Yeah,
and what a wonderful organization, and they're doing such great work.
Yep. Well, thank you. So today we have Veterans Day ceremonies all over the county. The next one in Napa is at 11 o'clock at Veterans Park. And this is more than just buying a mattress.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You know, drives me crazy.
The discounts are nice on Veterans Day, but that's not what it's really about.
No. No kidding. So what's up with you and what are you doing now as a semi-volunteer, really?
Well, obviously, I wasn't going to sit around the house.
No.
That was never my plan. It's also not my spouse's plan for me. So I get some pretty clear guidance from Joelle. She says, you need to not be in the house.
Right, I know.
If you got nothing to do, don't do it here.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a bunch of different things. Actually, still involved, I'm on the Napa County Housing Commission because my focus was really to get homeless veterans off the street.
Yep.
So doing that. Also, I'm... participating as I'm actually a paid employee for the census.
Right.
For 2020. I think it's really important that everybody be counted.
No kidding. Well, let's talk about that because it really is vital, especially now as we're dealing with so much divisiveness and real angst in America, all over the world, but clearly here we're kind of leading it. We in Britain.
And not only that, Dorothy, but California is historically undercounted.
Right.
And the population 0 to 5 is undercounted.
Yep.
And that's huge here in California.
It is huge. Well, and you have to make sure that people feel safe. That's been one of the tactics that's somewhat distressing, to make sure that people who may be frightened that they would be deported will hide. They won't tell you that they're here. And that's really scary. So especially in California, we have to really do due diligence to make sure that everybody understands the importance of being counted.
The difference between counting everybody is
huge
for a number of reasons. Financially, it's the difference between about $2,000 per person per year being undercounted. So, you know, our population hovers around, I think, 140,000 in Napa County. There could be up to 10 to 15% of the people not being counted.
Yeah.
In 2020, the census is going to be taken electronically. You literally can go online to be counted. But that doesn't mean that everybody has access
to
the electronic capability or understands how to do it. And as you say, there will be a lot of people that don't want to be counted or afraid to be.
Yeah, that's really frightening. And I mean, clearly in this current administration, California is not real popular.
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing estimates of 16 million people in America who are being prevented from being counted.
Yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's absolutely frightening. But here, you know, we have so much support from nonprofits that work well together. That's the key. Everybody's really trying, and we're trying to reach people who might not feel comfortable being counted. And you're right. Being able to do this online is huge. Thank goodness for the library and all the help that they give everyone, because that's really a key, and I'm sure you're using that along with everybody else, saying, you know, you can go to the library, and you'll have people who will help you.
Well, there are lots of resources for going and getting online and accessing the information that you need. In fact, I'm doing that. And just as a point of information, there are jobs available for I need to recruit and hire about 130 people in Napa County, not only to be enumerators, but also to be resource advocates and administrative staff, as well as recruiting assistants to help me hire the people. And you can make $20 to $30 an hour working part-time. Next spring and next summer, all those jobs will be critical, but I'm recruiting for them now.
Yeah, so okay.
Over the course of the next few months, I'll be holding workshops to help people fill out the application online, and we're going to be using the library a lot for that.
Good. Well, I ought to do that.
Yeah, if you need a little part, spending money, Dorothy, that's the way to do it. But to do that, if you go to www.2020census, and that's C-E-N-S-U-S.
Right.
.gov/jobs. That's where you can find out information about jobs and also apply.
Okay. Well, we'll tell that over and over again today.
Good.
Make sure that people understand that. So you got recruited, not just because Joelle said, you need to be doing something really exciting, because you're out of the house most of the time doing a lot of exciting things, and you travel a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still traveling. In fact, I just got back on Saturday from overseas. I was in Prague in the Czech Republic, over there working for the Department of Defense.
Right. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we have for many, many years supported foreign governments, not only in terms of enhancing their capability to understand how to defend themselves, but also providing them with the understanding how to apply new equipment systems.
Right.
And the Czech Republic are buying a new fleet of helicopters. They're not buying from the United States, so I'm not there trying to sell U.S. equipment, but I'm rather trying to help them figure out how to incorporate that new helicopter system into their inventory.
Going to Ukraine anytime soon?
We've not been to Ukraine in about 12 years.
Right.
Last time we were there, I think was probably 2007, 2008.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll see what happens this week.
Yeah. Who knows? I guess the hearings will be
Wednesday.
Gonna be open. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on to more energetic topics, like, you know, how are we going to make sure that everybody's counted in the census? So you got involved because you know everybody, and somebody said, well, you should do this, Bill. You know everybody. You're a good organizer. You're a great leader. Do this. And Joelle probably said, yeah, do it. And so you did it.
And she also said, and you get paid.
And you get paid.
Well, you know, I have to tell you that there's a really good functioning system set up already in Napa County. I was really impressed with how much organization there's been to, you know, cut across functional lines, the business community, the health and human services agencies, local nonprofits,
right,
as well as government. They've really done a good job of Complete the Count is the name of the organization that's meeting. And they meet on a regular basis in their subcommittees. And, you know, between Terrence Mulligan, the Community Foundation, everybody else are doing a great job of making sure that everybody does get counted in Napa.
Well, and again, my earlier statement, we really work well together. We're small enough, but everybody cooperates and everybody understands the importance of this. And again, you know, tell our listeners this, if you're not counted, that's like $2,000 that we lose per person.
Per year.
Per year. I mean, that's huge. And of course, being counted means you're being represented in Washington, D.C., congressionally as well.
Sure.
So,
you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, Dorothy. I think if someone similar to the flood control project,
right,
writing as a case study, the way the organizations in Napa County come together to work together, I mean, you know, Pathway Home was an excellent example of public and private partnerships.
You're not kidding.
And I just wish that somebody, some enterprising writer, maybe we could get Mr. Conaway to come and write another book.
Yeah. He likes all the negative stuff. But
well, yeah, but you know, a positive story might give him better publicity and pump up his marketing for other things. But I just think the way Napa County works together is fantastic, and it certainly is groundbreaking.
It is. It is. Well, you know, from flood control on, I mean, you know, I was the fundraising chair for the measure.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
It was remarkable to watch the business community, the nonprofit community, the environmental community, the realtors, everyone worked together. That took us over a year of really educating people. And that's the key. It really is. And that's what you're doing right now. The key is making sure that people understand the truth. Here's what's going on. Here's why this is important. And here's, frankly, why it affects you. And our goal then was to say to people living on the hills, you're impacted by flooding as much as the folks in the flatlands that are actually being flooded. Here's how it's going to affect you.
I saw the benefits of that. I served 6 years on the Financial Oversight Committee for the Flood Control Project. And I mean, it came the closest I've ever seen to being a well-oiled functioning machine, for sure.
It was amazing. I mean, it was clearly amazing. And for me personally, I remember going to bed at night thinking, oh my God, I'm going to need $80,000 by next week. I mean, how am I going to pull this off? And I'd wake up in the middle of the night and then I'd go see Bob Mondavi or Bob and Evelyn Trinchero and people who were just remarkable. And I'd say, okay, I need $80,000. The Bob Trinchero story is true. I need $80,000 by next week. And he said, okay, come to my office.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a really quick story, too. When we were doing some nonprofit work up at the Veterans Home,
right,
I went to them also, and they helped us with fixing up the garden at the Vets Home. They ripped out tree trunks. They leveled out the ground. They brought in topsoil, and we got the garden expanded.
Yeah.
Because the garden was a big deal at the Vets Home.
It is a big deal.
And the Trinchero's were very supportive of that. So here's the... This is the nexus, I think.
Right.
You've got activist folks in our community that can access the wealth to get things done. Because we all know it takes that hose of dough.
Yep.
You got to turn on the hose of dough to get things done.
Yeah. But it works. And Terrence is fabulous. I was on the board of the Community Foundation when we hired him. And, I mean, that was one of the best things we've ever done in the community.
Yeah. How did you ever... coax him away from Silicon Valley? Because quite frankly, the Community Foundation would be like budget dust compared to what they were probably.
Absolutely. But he was so smart and such an entrepreneur and understood that, and we didn't have a whole lot of money at that time. And I mean, this was really tiny. He understood that this was his opportunity to really shine, to make it his. And with a bigger organization, you can't do that. And boy, howdy, did he. Plus, he also had big donors in Silicon Valley that had second homes here that he knew were going to have first homes here. They were going to retire and live here. They moved their money with him because they knew what he could do.
So see, Dorothy, I think what you and I should do is recruit a writer to come and write the story of Napa Valley charitable giving.
Yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely, because the stories, if we don't write that down, they'll be lost.
Well, and it's a story that can be shared. You and I have talked about this, sharing the models for support.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it on Saturday night because I remember last year when we were at Luna for the event that Warrior Rising, Bob McDonald showed up, Secretary of the VA.
Right.
And we got to hear firsthand his thoughts about, well, this is what it was like working for the VA, and this is why I left, and all that sort of stuff.
Well, and certainly one of my missions currently is to make sure that we save the VA and protect it, make it work, make it better, but there's nothing else like the VA. I mean, you know that better than anyone else. When we look at healthcare, there's very few opportunities for truly integrated healthcare. Kaiser is one, but it's not what the VA is. And the VA being so huge is going to have issues, but it's not let's disassemble them. and especially with mental health care.
You know, the president of the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey is my boss, and she invites senior leaders to come down and speak to the student body and staff and faculty. I would love for Suzanne Gordon to go down and give her talk, you know,
yes,
focused on, let me tell you, all you active duty officers who are getting your master's degrees, why the VA is so important and why it's critical to support them.
Right.
That success story, I think, would be very valuable for young active duty officers to hear.
Well, we'll make that happen.
Okay.
We'll make that happen, because certainly that's been my mission over the last few years after Pathway. I thought, we have to partner with the VA. We can't disassemble it or diss the VA or make one or two bad stories the story of the VA, because the VAs that I see and the VAs you see are amazing.
Yeah, they really
people
are.
Are incredible. Not to mention the fact that 70% of our physicians are trained at the VA. So without the VA, we already don't have enough doctors in the United States, and we don't have enough physicians in small communities. And those physicians will get their training, because it's very expensive, they'll get the best training possible at the VA. We need the VA.
I'm taking advantage of the VA by inviting some of the staff from the VA to participate in a webinar for all of the family court professionals throughout the state in the 58 counties. Very few people out in the communities know what the VA is all about and how it can family plan, family support for domestic violence as well as for court action. So I've invited Jerry Borskin to be a part of that webinar.
Yeah.
And that's going to be probably in the new year.
Yeah.
For the state coordinators.
That's perfect. And certainly after Pathway, we kept going. We moved the program to the Martinez VA, to the Post-Deployment Assessment Treatment Program, which is remarkable, absolutely remarkable, and has far more advantages, more money, more staff than the Pathway Home could ever afford. But we were always partners with them, too. I mean, Jerry was a part of everything.
Sure.
That's always been a public-private partnership, and we need more of those. Especially now on Veterans Day.
Yeah.
And we need people to understand what the VA is, because you read about the bad stuff, which makes the news because the media loves that. And I've had a real struggle in many ways convincing people that they can't believe all the bad stuff if they've never been to a VA. If they don't know the folks, and clearly in the Rotary Club, that's not the case anymore, because we have probably 7 to 10 Rotarians that every month go bowling with the PDAT guys at Napa Bowl, and they see firsthand what real people, real community givers can do and make a difference in these veterans' lives. These guys love us.
But come on, Dorothy. I mean, is Kent Gardella a good bowler? I'm not sure I'd want to bowl with him.
Wouldn't he
gutter the ball a lot? I don't see Kent being a good bowler.
Well, actually, the best bowler is Barbara Nemko.
Oh.
She goes bowling with us. The worst bowler you're listening to. I mean, I'm the gutter ball girl, but I raise money, and I'm there for them.
Good.
And, you know, I can put stuff together. So that's all they care about. And, you know, I'm anti-Dorothy to these guys. And it's wonderful. And we're seeing such huge progress from just little things. So we're big supporters.
I appreciate that the media will expose problems. I certainly think that's part of their role. I teach a module when I go to foreign countries about transparency and accountability in government processes, and the media plays a really important role in that, in exposing fraud, waste, and abuse.
Not according to the president.
True. But at the same time, I would really like for the media to illuminate more of the positive stories.
Yes.
And I've encouraged Sean Scully and them to do that with the paper. So I we'll see what they... I remember a headline about 10 years ago that said, "Veterans events strewn throughout the valley." And I remember calling the paper, and I talked to Kevin Courtney about it.
Right.
And I said, you know,
strewn.
Strewing things across a valley kind of sounds like trash.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, I sent Sean Scully an article about Zach Skiles, who was a Pathway Home graduate, really struggled for many years, lived in his car, couldn't keep relationships going, couldn't get a job. He is in the last year of getting his PhD in psychology. He is an intern at the PDAP program in Martinez. He's remarkable. And the Pathway Home has helped him get through school. He's our hero. And I sent his story to Sean, and I said, here's an amazing story, a local story about how, what a difference we made. And Zach still comes to Rotary meetings. The story was really, his story of success was put together by the Brentwood Rotary Club that stays in touch with him, helps him. I mean, that's the beauty of, especially today on Veterans Day, we knew how to help veterans. We knew how to be there as a community after World War II. We were there because everybody was involved. All families were involved in that war effort. That wasn't the case in Korea, certainly wasn't the case in Vietnam. Now we have 1% serving, and we've got to understand that just a little bit of help, just being there, just supporting, just understanding the VA, just being an advocate is huge for the 1% that have been in an 18-year war.
Well, Saturday night, Jason Van Camp at this event for Warrior Rising announced the formation of a local mentorship group. Johnny Karpuk is going to be the platoon leader, and I'm the assistant platoon leader.
Good.
Although Johnny was a captain and I was lieutenant colonel, I'm now working for him.
Right.
but we're enlisting mentors to be in direct contact with young veteran entrepreneurs.
Right.
To start their businesses and to incubate them and get them rolling. In fact, Pete Richmond, Silverado Farming Company, is one of the mentors. He's our role model. We're gonna start recruiting in the new year for other business leaders to help out.
Good.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it'll be a very supportive and very helpful program. You know, I never will forget a few years back, I met a young man who'd been brought to the Valley by Jack Cakebread.
Right.
Jack happened to speak to his seminar group at Harvard Business School, and at the end of the talk, this young man walked up to Jack and introduced himself because Jack told him he was a veteran.
Right.
And this fellow said, "Well, I'm a veteran too. I'm in Harvard Business School. I'm looking forward to working." Jack said, "You come out. I'll get you to work." He went to work for Bill Harlan. And now I run into him every once in a while, and he's doing great things
right
in the industry, spending a lot of time in China, selling wine over there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's so many great connections, and that's true very much so for veterans.
Good.
Taking care of other veterans.
Well, good, good, good. And Dave is doing fine?
Yes. Yes.
Good. Good. Yeah, well, it's an amazing organization, and that's just one example of how we can help and be there for these guys.
That thread of continuity, it still goes through the same thing we're talking about, public and private partnerships, and having the right people get things started and then going and find the resources to make it complete. So.
You're not kidding, yeah. So are you going to the veterans services today?
I am going to go down.
Yeah.
I think Bernie may be the master of ceremonies for it. Bernie
right.
Lopez. Yeah, I'm going to go down and I'll stand in the back, sing along. I've got to go home and get my poppy on. I came home from the Czech Republic with a poppy that they had given me. All the veterans in Prague were wearing them on their lapels. So it's, you know, that idea of the poppy.
I have a picture of my mother in 1915 as a little girl handing out poppies. You know, just remarkable.
Yeah, for the listeners who don't know the story, poppies were growing in Flanders Field, and they believed that the dirt had been turned over from multiple artillery barrages. So much so that all the ground was turned over. And they believe that poppies grow faster in ground that's been turned over. And so to commemorate that devastating moment from the artillery barrages and watching the poppies grow, that's how the custom of handing out poppies,
right.
The symbol of warfare and its destruction as well as its rebirth.
Right, boy. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break and listen to a couple of commercials because that's what pays for everything. So we'll be back with Bill Chadwick. So stay tuned. And we're back with Bill Chadwick, and we've been talking about veterans, Veterans Day, and the census. So we're going to concentrate this last half of the program on the census because it's really important. And Bill is coordinating with the county, with other nonprofits, on how to make sure we really do a good job with the census this year. It is so important. And if you want to help, you get paid. So listen carefully.
Yeah, let me dispel a couple of myths about working for the census. First of all, let me describe what the eligibility criteria are if you want to get a job with the census. You must be a U.S. citizen. You must be 18 years or older. You have to have a valid Social Security number, a valid email address. You've got to answer some questions in a questionnaire. Male applicants born after December 31st, 1959 must be registered with a Selective Service Program. And there's a criminal background check.
Right.
But for an old guy like me with, you know...
Or me.
I managed to pass it. So
yeah.
It's, you know, usually you're working part-time. You're working part-time.
Right.
And a lot of it's in the evening. On the weekends, but you can really make your own schedule, which is kind of fantastic to do. I think this is an excellent job for people who are retired,
right?
Familiar with their neighborhood, students, because we're really looking for people to work in their neighborhoods. The jobs that are available, we have enumerators who will be actually physically going out.
Knocking on doors.
They'll only be knocking on the doors where people have not identified themselves online,
okay,
electronically.
Oh, yeah. Let's, again, go over that. That's really new, that you can go through and sign up and be counted online.
That's right. You can sign up and be counted. You'll receive a PIN in the mail. With that PIN, you put in your PIN in the census website. And you'll be able to identify yourself and the number of people living in your household and all that sort of thing. So most of it, I would guess 90% of it will probably be completed online. But for the 10% that don't get counted that way, we'll be sending enumerators out. Those enumerators make a minimum of $20 an hour. We've got jobs for administrative staff making $23 to $27 an hour. And then up to $30 an hour for supervisors. So there's you can work part-time. Next spring and summer will be our most intense months. But right now, I'm recruiting for those jobs. So I'm looking for people to apply. Again, it's www.2020, the number's 2020, census.gov/jobs.
Okay, we'll keep reminding people of that throughout the show. So because I'm sure people are listening going, oh, I could do that. I should do that.
Yeah, I was at a job fair out at the college a couple weeks ago and set up a table, and I gave out information about 25 to 30 students.
I bet.
College kids. I'm going to American Canyon High School on Wednesday to run a set up a table there. I'm conducting workshops around the county also to help people figure out how to apply. Online, we're using the library resources.
Right.
We're using CenterPoint location also down at County Health and Human Services Agency. They've been very helpful to help us get the word out. I'm posting information around different locations, stores, and I'll also be setting up in front of Trader Joe's and other locations to hand out information.
Good. Good. Well, make sure you make the rounds to all the Rotary clubs and all the Kiwanis clubs.
I plan to visit the service clubs for sure.
Yeah, that really works. because you've got service clubs, the Kiwanis Club and the Rotary Club in Napa compete with each other every year at this time of year in front of Trader Joe's ringing bells for the Salvation Army. A lot of times these guys are bored stiff. Go out and say, here, let me tell you what you can do. I mean, they're the perfect audience.
Yeah.
A lot of retired folks who are smart, who are very engaged in the community, and would be perfect for this.
You know, there was a lot of misleading information too earlier in the year, Dorothy, about whether you had to be a citizen to be counted. When
right.
the Constitution doesn't say anything about being a citizen. Back then,
it says, can you fog a mirror? Are you alive?
That's right. So basically in 1790, they just counted everyone that was living in the country.
Right.
And the same thing applies now. If you have a child who's overseas in Italy, on a study abroad program, they won't be counted. If you've got an exchange student living with you in America, they'll be counted.
Right.
Kind of evens it out a little bit.
It does. I had 5 exchange students.
I that's why I said that, because I remember you having. Is this one of our children?
Is this? Yeah, I know. We had 5. I loved it. Absolutely, it was great for my kids too. Yeah. I mean, I did that when they were in school, so that the exchange students had a buddy that was their age. Rob, as you know. You know Rob well.
Right.
Rob is now a highly successful winemaker and a business entrepreneur, but in high school, he was a devil.
I wonder where he got that from.
Yeah, I know. I think he got it from his mother, right?
Well, you know, off and on through the years, we've put people up for different events. In fact, one of our dearest friends that we've kept in touch with was here for the inaugural film festival.
Right.
We were hosting her during the time, the run-up to the film fest, the very first film festival.
Boy. Okay. Well, again, this is a really important job. We have to do it well. We're working well together with nonprofits, with government, with everybody. But this is a chance for people to really get engaged and to talk about how important it is that everybody is counted for a lot of reasons, but talk about the monetary reason.
Well, the monetary reasons, being undercounted could, over a 10-year period, account for millions of dollars that we don't receive in federal aid. The U.S. Right. federal government sends every year to California about $85 billion in support for different programs. And that's based on
the census.
And if we miscount, undercount, we stand to lose a considerable portion of that $85 billion. Although I have to say, given the current administration, they'd probably like to do away with all that
money
they're sending to us.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It is.
It's really sad. So hopefully we can get past that.
Yeah, we can only hope.
We can only hope. We can only hope. We've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. So my goal, and right now there are only 2 of us in Napa County who have been hired by the census group, working in the Valley. So we need more help. We need people to go online at www.2020census.gov/jobs and complete the application.
Okay. I'll do it.
Good. I look forward to seeing you out there. Asking people to sign up.
Yeah, I'm never afraid of that. So, yeah, no, I think it's like put your money where your mouth is. If you believe this is important, then step up and help. So you got me.
Yeah.
I'll help.
Thank you.
And the census starts. Talk about when it really kicks off. We're right now in the process of making sure we've got the organizational structure in place to make sure it works.
Right. We'll really start seeing folks get out in the field to follow up starting in April.
Okay.
And from April to October are really our most, are the busiest times.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I've got Cycle for Sight Rotary Ride for Veterans in April, so I'm pretty busy in April. But after that, not so much.
Yeah. But there'll be plenty to do May, June, July, that time frame. But I'm encouraging people to go ahead and apply now, because what's happening is, as we start to populate the locations, and it actually goes down as far as land use tracks.
Okay.
We're trying to get someone in each of the tracks.
Yeah.
Designated, because they'll know the neighborhood, they'll know the people who live there, and they'll know who probably has access to computers and who doesn't, or who can get online and fill out the. And it's only 10 questions. I mean, it's not the actual census document itself is not extensive.
Well, talk about what the document is, because that a lot of people don't know that.
The document says, "Do you mind telling us what your race is?
Right.
How many people live in your household? Are you the primary head of household? Are you employed? What is your job? Those kinds of questions.
How many children?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's general type questions.
Yeah, but those are really important as we look at who is in America.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we?
Right.
What do we look like now? And those questions are really important.
Yeah, but the question that's not on the census question
is, are you a citizen?
Right.
Well, that was a huge debate.
It was a huge debate, and I actually believe that I don't think the administration ever thought they were going to win, but they just wanted to throw that out there.
To scare people. Yeah. Well, and has that worked?
Yes.
Has it? Yeah.
Yes, unfortunately, it has worked.
It's been effective.
Yeah.
People are frightened.
So one of the things that we're doing when we're hiring people to be recruiting assistants like I am,
right,
is first off to dispel that. And one of the ways I'm doing that is I'm also, you know, you've been a role model for me off and on through the years. I just happen to also be helping out with citizenship workshops where I can use my Spanish,
right,
to help people fill out the paperwork for citizenships, which I have to throw out this support message for Crosswalk Church.
Yes.
It's probably one of the stalwarts in our community for helping out in any ways, not only to the recovery community, but also to citizenship workshops, and a lot of things that touch people on a daily basis. And they've been very supportive. We hold citizenship workshops there. I think that one of the things I'm going to try and do is set up shop there to let people know about the census.
Well, in Puertas Abiertas, there's, you know, the Community Foundation's support for several nonprofits,
sure,
that will all be there really pushing hard on this. So, and the churches, St. John's works really well with Puertas and the Community Foundation. So, you know, I'm sure that the ecumenical group will also be a big help.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, I've reached out to the Interfaith Council,
right,
and somehow I don't know where the venue would be to do that, but I plan to make the rounds of the churches.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, good, because that will help. And my guess is we'll be very successful, because we have a whole lot of smart people that are very committed, that know everyone. The connectedness is so extremely positive in this community that my guess is we're going to be okay here.
I think one of the best aspects is actually that we've got people in the neighborhoods who know who's got access to computers and not, and who can actually tell you, my neighbor across the street, I know that when her husband passed away, she did not keep up on the computer.
Right.
She probably has not done any of the updates for software. Let's go over and talk to her, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and you've got people who will help. I'll update your software for you. I'll help you. You can trust me. I'm your friend. I'm your next door neighbor. So that's going to be really important.
Yeah.
And the whole neighborliness of who we are as Americans comes out during the census. That really is the message. We're all in this together. We'll help each other. We're there for you. But we need to know who you are, and we need to be very honest and open, and we need the information.
Although Napa is, we're the smallest county,
right,
in the state, we also have per capita a higher percentage of people over the age of 65,
yep,
in the community. So, yeah, we're both in that category.
Yeah, we are.
So, but we've got a lot of helpers. We've got a lot of people helping that population of Ulsters.
Yeah, right. Well, and the young, hipper, internet-connected Oldsters can help the really old guys.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, that's going to be our job. That'll be my job.
Well, and I want to make sure that all the veterans get counted. You know, we got 9,000 veterans.
Yes, we do.
In this valley.
Yeah. Well, and that's important. Just going up to the veterans home, that's kind of a one-stop shop.
Yep. Yeah, how we address that and how we do that is one of my challenges. And the Complete the Count community, that committee is also looking at that too.
Right. Well,
and count institutions.
But there are so many good friends up there that we have, and people who will help, and the veterans themselves, their organizations within the veterans home, which is huge. That's a pretty big population.
Sure.
Of helpers.
You could go up there today and spend all day kissing veterans. As I like to remind you on this day, don't forget to kiss a veteran. Did I mention that I'm a veteran?
Yeah, no.
I
think I kissed you when you came in. Yeah, and said thank you. And again, thank you. Bill is an example of the best of veterans that never give up on other veterans, that are always there. I mean, you know, you've never, ever stopped helping veterans and the country.
Thank you, Dorothy. You're very kind.
But it's true. It's true. Not just because your wife wants you out of the house. Because you actually do it. So we can talk about, again, how to access the census if you're interested in helping. And for many of our listeners, think about that. This would be fun. This, you know, it's a little extra money. But it's really a way to know your neighborhood, to be of service, especially today when we talk about being of service. So again, give everybody the website.
We're looking for people to go online at www.2020census.gov/jobs. And the jobs range from $20 an hour up to $30 an hour. Some are administrative, working in an office. You could actually travel down to Concord, which is our local regional center office. Or you can work from your home. You can make your own hours, working part-time, up to 30 to 40 hours a week. If you want to work full-time, you can do that too. But it's primarily getting to know people in your community, recruiting them to also then go out and talk to their to their neighbors in
right.
the community.
Right. Well, and right now, just getting other people enthusiastic about this and saying, you could do this. This is fun. This will be really a great experience.
Yeah, and making the census a positive activity in our community. It's a way to connect in our community. It's a way to make sure that we get our fair share of federal, state, and local funding. And also to remind the Congress of how many folks are in California. We are a power.
Yes, we are.
And a way to make a little extra money on the side. So.
Well, and again, I think for people who are saying, well, I'm not really that comfortable knocking on doors of strangers. I'm a little worried about that. Again, 90%, you think. Would be a good number to assess that those folks will do the census online.
Yeah,
so a lot of what we're going to be doing is encouraging people, and here's how you can do it fast. You can do it online. Here's how you do it. You don't have to worry about going and knocking on that many doors.
Yeah.
And if we are working with people in our neighborhood, especially we talked about older folks that may not have internet connections or just aren't comfortable being online, we can help them do that. And that's a real service, and it's easy and not very difficult. And it's really a nice thing to do. So again, it's very different than it used to be when it was door knocking for everyone.
Right.
This is not door knocking for everyone. This is really helping people learn how to be online.
And getting an accurate count in 2020.
Boy, howdy. Yeah, well, we've got a lot going on in 2020.
We do.
I mean, this is a pivotal time in America. And and especially in California, where...
You know, Dorothy, on the 1st of July next year, I will have been involved in... being in the military, either in uniform or as a civilian or as a consultant.
You're a consultant.
For 50 years.
Wow.
I took the oath on the 1st of July, 1970 at West Point, and have been around the community pretty much ever since.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being there, for being of service, for being a nice kid from Mississippi who had a congressman that said, this kid's going to go someplace. I'm going to get him into West Point.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that story before we end, because I love that.
Well, the man who gave me my appointment to West Point was actually Sonny Montgomery, who was the original author of the GI Bill.
Right.
And as we know, the GI Bill, once it passed, was responsible for the return on the investment of what they spent on the GI Bill was 1 to 7.
Right.
Estimating that everybody who came back and went to college turned out to be super business people.
Yeah.
Increased our national capability considerably.
No kidding.
But I have to say, the GI Bill was not held in high favor by college presidents. College presidents across the country told Truman, well, you know, these guys are coming back from war and they've been in other countries and they've learned bad habits. We're not sure we want them on our campuses.
Over there.
Yeah,
over there.
Right. But Sonny Montgomery gave me my appointment. And as it turned out, I actually also competed for presidential. So I actually went into West Point. I received a presidential appointment. The president gave out 100 appointments.
Wow.
So Richard Nixon actually gave me my appointment that I was accepted into West Point for.
And you were never a fan.
That's true. Never was. But
you went to West Point.
My congressional appointment was handed over to my first alternate. Unfortunately, he was killed in a motorcycle accident before he could go to West Point.
So wow.
He did not attend. But yeah, I went in. I marched in on the 1st of July, 1970, with 1,380 people, and we 4 years later we graduated with 858.
Yeah. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we have to end the show, but as we end again, give the website address, because here's a deal for you folks.
Yeah. The website for applying online to get a job with the census is www.2020census.gov/jobs.
Thanks, Bill. It's been great.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Bye-bye. See you next Monday.